Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater. Today is Tuesday, March 17th, 2026. Today we are reading the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There's a Solution, and we are on page 25, reading the paragraph that starts, There is a Solution, through one paragraph ending, existence of which we had not even dreamed. And we're commenting on that one paragraph today. Our readers for today, for the 12 steps, we have Mary F. The 12 traditions, we have Nicole F. Reader of the text is Tony B. Page 164 is Susan S.H. Our backup is Nancy P. Our newcomer greeter is Karen W. And our second hour host is Betsy H. The reference numbers for Monday, March 16th, for our 7 a.m. meeting, 23,288, that is 23288. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 23,289, that's 23,289. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary F. to read the 12 steps. My name is Mary.
Good morning, fellows. This is Mary F. Today I'm in New York. I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Mary. I will now ask Nicole S. to read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Nicole.
Good morning. This is Nicole S., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thank you for your service. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Nicole. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop on share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be able to time you today. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We are in the chapter, There is a Solution. We are on page 25, which starts with the paragraph, There is a Solution, reading down to existence of which he had not even dreamed. And I'm now going to ask Tony B. to please come on in. Tony, please read for us.
Thank you, Kathy. Tony B., gratefully recovered in Scotland. So, there is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When, therefore, we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. And we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. So the beginning half part of this chapter has been really making it clear and piling on the powerlessness of our situation, the fact that that our thinking is faulty, that we've got no defense against taking the first drink and then no defense after that because of the allergy beginning. So, but mostly this is has been talking about the mental side of it. And so many want to stop but cannot. So it's really been laying out how hopeless we are, And then there is a solution. And it's starting to introduce us to what that's going to mean. It's going to mean self-searching, step four, step 10. It's going to mean leveling of our pride. We're going to be sharing when after we've looked at ourselves, we're going to be sharing this with other people in five, in 10. Confession of shortcomings. It's an ongoing process that we must do. It does say the process requires, it's a process, it's ongoing for its successful consummation. In order to get recovered, this is required. I must be doing it. And I saw that it really worked in others. I came into this meeting in particular and saw and heard recovery, saw recovery, and came to believe that I could do it too. Yes, I had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as I'd been living it. It was really becoming untenable. I'd tried again. I kept going back into the food. The binges were worsening again. I was suicidal. Life was felt like it wasn't worth living. I was that woman crying out, "Help me!" You know, there must be something going through the phone. You know, the hospital that I could go into. It was hopeless. It was futile, and I couldn't do it on my own. So when I heard and saw these people in whom the problem had been solved, I wanted to do the same thing, and I did. Finally, I put the food down, God willing, for the very last time, and I worked the steps, and I worked them through with a recovered sponsor who told me about the importance of sponsoring myself once I'd got through, sponsoring others, I mean.
Time, Tony.
Oh, thank you so much. Didn't have time to talk about heaven or being rocketed into the fourth dimension, but I'm sure some of you will. Love you all very much, and I pass.
Tony, thank you so much for reading for us and getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday of either meeting, we ask that you hold back. If you'd like to share, please press *1 to unmute your line and give me your first name and first initial of your last name. I'm ready to take some names.
Dorita P.
Rick J.
Florida.
Rivka R. in Baltimore.
Reva
Liz
P.
E. UK.
Okay, this is who I heard. Dorita, Rick, Reva, and Liz from the UK. Is there anyone else that gave their name that I didn't hear?
Rivka.
I have Rivka.
Did you get Rivka, Kathy?
Hi, good morning, Rivka. Yes, I have Dorita, Rick, Reva, Liz, Rivka. I'm ready for some more. Is there anyone else that gave their name and I didn't hear you?
Larry K.
Thank you, Larry.
Lisa Bonnie.
Lisa and Bonnie. Okay, let's start with this first lineup. We have Dorita, Rick, Reva, Liz, Rivka, Larry, Lisa, and Bonnie. Dorita, come in and share with us, please. Tell us your first initial and where you're calling from.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody did not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, there is a solution. That's got to be the best news. I am so grateful that there is a solution. Most of my life, I didn't No, I didn't believe that there was a solution. Well, the solution was diet, which I thought was a solution, but, you know, they were never, I was never able to, like, sustain them or something like that. So I'm really grateful that there is a solution in which we have a reprieve on a daily basis as long as we work the program. So my solution or the solution for overeating, and I guess it's for all addictions, I'm not sure, I just know about mine, but I have an allergy of the body, which means when I eat certain foods, I cannot stop. Now, it does not happen when I eat, like, broccoli. It does not happen when I eat broccoli. So that tells you that there's a difference between broccoli and donuts. And then I have this mind when I'm not even eating compulsively. I have this mind that tells me that it's going to be different this time. I'm going to be able to just eat one donut or a couple donuts. And, you know, my mind will tell me something like, well, I'm at this event or at this affair, and I'm only going to eat two donuts because that's all there is. Okay, I might eat two donuts there, but on my way home, I'm going to stop and get a dozen of donuts or something like that. I'm making light of it because there is a solution. That's the only reason why I'm making light of it, because there is a solution. And I have been rocking into much of heaven in a fourth dimension. Yes. This program makes that happen. I'm just really, really grateful. I don't even really have words to say how grateful I am. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's Dorita P. from Ohio. Next up, we have Rick J., followed by Reva P. And if you just joined us, we are on page 25, paragraph, There Is a Solution, reading that one paragraph. Come on, Rick. Please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Yeah, this, for me, this is where the word spiritual is introduced, you know, like and reinforced throughout this chapter. There is a solution, and I drew an arrow all the way down to the very bottom of the page to accept spiritual help. And, you know, of course, in between, you know, in this paragraph, you know, we hear about spiritual tools, and then we're going to hear about spiritual experiences. And, you know, all through this chapter, this is telling me that there's nothing human about, there's nothing human about the solution. The previous paragraph, you know, stated, I've been placed beyond human aid. And, you know, and that is a statement, you know, a reality that is pretty terrifying. I am beyond help. I can't help myself, and no one else can help me. Whatever is going to save me has got to be something beyond human, and that's the spiritual tools laid at our feet to get us to the spiritual experiences by accepting spiritual help. And whatever that word spiritual can mean to us, and we can decide whatever that is, as long as it's nothing human. You know, that's what I had to realize, that there was nothing human about the solution other than that other humans helped me get there, you know, with their own experience. But it's a spiritual solution, right? And I'm so grateful to be living in this spiritual solution. With a God of my understanding, a power greater than myself that I can truly connect with. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick. That is Rick J. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Reva P., followed by Liz E., then Rivka R. And before Reva comes in, just to remind you, we're on page 25. We're in this chapter, There Is a Solution, in the paragraph that starts with, in There Is a Solution. Reva, please come in and share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Wow. I have written at the top of page 25 that this is the page of hope. And that's what I felt when I first read this chapter and I first read this paragraph. All I needed to hear and all I could understand was that there is a solution. There is a solution, is right now. Right now, as soon as I stepped into that meeting, there was a solution for me. Didn't really understand the process. I didn't really understand what it meant to do the steps, but it lays them out here. And maybe it was a good thing I didn't really understand what they were referring to. You know, hopelessness and futility, step one, self-searching, leveling of my pride, step 5-7, confession, 8-9. I didn't understand any of that. But I knew there was a solution. And then I really also appreciated hearing that almost none of us never liked the fact that I was going to have to do work, that I was going to have to put down the food, that it was going to be super uncomfortable to go through detox to get the physical abstinence. And then even when I had the food down, I was going to have to do work to clear that blockage to power. Because of the manifestation of all the selfishness, resentments, and fears, and that I still have to do work continuously to keep that channel clear. It seemed so illogical that the solution was this spiritual toolkit, the 12 steps, that the answer was spiritual, and that what I straightened out spiritually, the mental and the physical, was going to, you know, be much calmer. I didn't understand any of that. I didn't necessarily like it, but I'll never forget when my sponsor said and still says to this day, I don't have to like it, I just have to do it. And I get the results. Just like when I go to the gym, I don't have to like lifting the weights, but if I do it, I get stronger. And then this, you know, whenever I was doubting, all I had to do was look around me and see the people in whom the problem has been solved, is solved, share about solving the problem. This is what people do. They do the work and their problems are solved, which means they're at peace, irregardless of external circumstances. And rocketed into a dimension I never, ever. Rocketed means it was done for me. It's not something I do. It's done for me as a result of working the steps. Like, wow. I am so grateful. Never in my wildest dreams, yeah, did I think it was this, but it is pretty awesome. It works. It really does. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Reva P. from Canada. Next up, we have Liz, followed by Rivka, and then Larry K. Liz, want to come in and share with us, please?
Good morning. My name is Liz Eve Elegant, in the UK, in beautiful sunny Bristol. I'm a compulsive overeater. And just encourage anybody who's never done it, do star one. It really works. As I shared last time, I relapsed, so I'm back working the steps. And I'm working on this chapter today, and I am just so, so grateful. But the challenge for me is the leveling of our pride, because I was just so full of shame a few days ago, and I just thought it was too awful to share. I couldn't share, but you know what? When I shared it with my beautiful sponsor, she kind of said, well, yeah, I've done something a bit like that. And, you know, but I've been holding on to this and it has been blocking me from being recovered. And, you know, working this program, and I've really submersed myself in it because I've had a very bumpy time in life. And do you know what? It helped. I cannot tell you anything more. And for me, this is talking about what recovered people look like, what they smell like, feel like, touch like, sound like. And when I know years ago when I first read these chapters, I didn't really engage with it. I found much of heaven. I'm like, what do you mean? That's a bit weird, isn't it? And I can tell you, having been recovered, that it is a beautiful place, but I have to work for it every day. And if I become complacent, I lose that place in heaven. And but I deserve it. And God wants me to have it. That's the important thing. And God is there 24/7. I just stop talking to him. I just stop engaging with him. But as long as I'm engaging with him, working the program, I have my seat in heaven. And it's a metaphor that some people might find difficult. If not, if you don't like that, think of something else that's really beautiful and tranquil and calm and is helping you do the daily life and the difficulties that it throws up, because that is, for me, what recovery is. Anyway, thanks a million. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. And star one, everyone. Bye.
Thank you so much. That's Liz E. from the UK. Next up, we have Rivka, followed by Larry, and then Lisa. Rivka, come on in and share with us, please.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Good morning. Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. Thank you, everybody, for your shares, and Kathy, for your service. I was thinking about what it means being rocketed into a fourth dimension. And I know three dimensions is the physical universe, and the fourth is this whole expanded spiritual dimension. And I realize that in addiction, my three-dimensional world is really me, myself, and I. And in that world, life is totally futile and hopeless and pretty miserable. So how do I go from a girl who says, you know, I'll stop with the sixth cookie, and then I can't stop with the sixth cookie, or the 16th cookie, and, you know, girl says to herself, you know, you won't be able to rest until you finish the whole thing anyway, so you might as well just get it over with and eat it all now, you know, to a girl who doesn't even want the cookie. So we know the solution is this simple kit of spiritual tools, these 12 steps, but I like when a girl says, simple but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant the destruction of self-centeredness. And that does not come easy. And I'm still far, far from it. You know, it's been a long journey to go from serving my ego to being willing to serve God. And many times, actually, I would be hopeless and, you know, go into another OA program, you know, see how 90-day grace sheet and FAA and I give my will and my life over to their food plan and, you know, work the steps, but it doesn't work that way. Because even in abstinence, like I would be, you know, I have to have all my food. I have to lick my plate clean and don't dare ask me for a bite or I'll bite your head off. And I would eventually relapse because I never got out of that third dimension of me, myself, and I. And I can't explain it, but when I came to vision, it became about God. I mean, that's it, God. Like God started becoming the great reality, and it's been a gradual blossoming of this fourth dimension. And now my deepest desire has become to serve God more than my ego and to be conscious of God in every aspect of my life. You know, and I'm able to eat slower now. I'm able to put my fork down and willingly give someone a bite of my food and even leave some on my plate, you know, as a spiritual exercise. And I, you know, without awareness of God, my soul is starving and I will never be satisfied. And when it's not about me and it's about what God wants, then I do find much of heaven. And it's just like a different universe. And so grateful. So thanks so much, everybody, for being here. And I pass.
Thank you so much. That's Rivka R. from Maryland. And just to remind everyone, we're on page 25, and there's a solution in the paragraph that starts there's a solution, reading that one paragraph. Next up, we have Larry K., followed by Lisa, and then Bonnie. And after Bonnie, I can take another lineup. So if you are not Larry K., please make sure you're muted. Larry, come on and share with us, please.
Oh, thank you. I'm Larry Kay. I think I'm unmuted here. I'm Larry Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. So I'm just going to stick to the part, we have found much of heaven and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we have not even dreamed. You know, again, how many dimensions are there? And Rivka just talked about it. I suppose there might be a physics teacher on the line that might propose, you know, some sort of string theory and, you know, that there are other dimensions. But generally speaking, to a layperson like me, there's just three spatial dimensions, right? In other words, I don't care where you live, if you give me your longitude and your latitude and your altitude, I can find you. Now, I can find you with some, you know, some devices we have today and GPS and all that, but that's it. So what about this spiritual dimension of existence? See, for me, a spiritual dimension is not about magic, no hocus pocus. It's represented in a higher realm of energy. It's represented in expanded awareness. You know, for some on the line, it's a divinity that goes beyond physical matter. And recovery is like that. Once you enter this spiritual dimension, like get really close to it in a way you never knew possible, it's probably something different than you imagined. That's my experience. And the five traditional human senses, you know, sight and hearing and smelling, taste and touch and all that, they weren't sufficient to experience this spiritual realm for me. You know, if you consider it like a steel cable, you know, a steel cable from a distance, it appears to be a single thick strand. You get right up to it, you find that it's woven from countless strands. In other words, there's always greater complexity than meets the eye. And this hidden complexity may well conceal all those tiny rolled up dimensions. And that's kind of like recovery. The miracle of recovery is that we're confronted with a change to the perceptive lens in which we experience the world. And the eye sees only what the mind is prepared to comprehend. So the steps prepare us to comprehend. That's how I look at the step process for a lifetime. They prepare me to comprehend greater and greater levels of this spiritual organic dimension. That's what it is. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. That's Larry K. from Illinois. Next up, we have Lisa, followed by Bonnie B. And then I will be ready to take more names. And we are on page 25, which starts with "There's a Solution." Lisa, please come in and share with us and give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please.
Thank you so much. This is Lisa BT, near Toronto in Canada, and I'm extremely amazed by this paragraph. It's one of the paragraphs in the big book that I couldn't believe we were listening to it this morning, and I got to hear it again. It holds everything in it. That whole, you know, world in a grain of sand. I'm sorry, my dog is coughing. I'm not sure if it's coming through. The two points, abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps, is what really stood out to me this morning in terms of my own experience. I've been in the rooms. Easter Sunday, it'll be 20 years. And I would say... I recognized I was at Cape Canaveral, my very first meeting. And I also focused on abstinence, primarily abstinence, for a long, long time. And I bounced around lots of different kinds of food plans because when things didn't work within OA and commercially, et cetera, and when one of them didn't work, my solution was that I would find a different one because that must be the problem. And I've been doing this since around 13 years old, and I'm 68 now. So it took me a long time to even find my first 12-step meeting. That was, as I say, about 20 years ago, and I realized this is different. I know this is different. But I still don't know how to see. And I would say that I could break down my physical, mental, and spiritual and say that it has been the spiritual, which for me was the slowest to come because I had the most resistance. Step two, but you know, self-reliance has always worked and been safe for me, so I think I'm going to stay there. I'd like to believe, but I'm just going to kind of always fall back. And it's only been very recently where I have been reworking the steps again. And I'm just on steps 8 and 9 at the moment. For the first time in these 20 years, really embracing doing the steps with a fantastic sponsor, that everything's different now. I see very differently. And I would never have imagined all these years that it was for me the glasses I was wearing. I think there's somewhere it says new pair of glasses. They were completely blocking out everything. They were sort of muddy and blocking out everything. And steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, working with my sponsor, not wanting to run at certain points, and yet I was given the gift of just sort of staying this time, that my experience that it's different now. So abstinence alone, no. It's working the steps that has changed everything for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa BT from Canada. Next up, we have Bonnie B. And after Bonnie, we can take a few more names. Bonnie, please come in and share with us.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. And thank you for all the shares this morning. As always, blessed beyond measure. Bonnie B. living in Florida, a true compulsive overeater. I want to speak to those that have gone through relapse or are in relapse or have gone through the steps multiple times, because that really is my story. You know, there is a solution, and the solution has always got to be connecting to the God of my understanding, which I happen to call God. But there was all this stuff between me and God, 52 years worth of stuff. And every time I relapsed and went back into the food, I wrestled with having to go through the steps again. And God in his kindness, my loving God, brought to me a word picture from my past. When I was young, I lived on a farm, and my brother and sister and myself and my dad would take the tractor out every spring. And he'd have a bucket on the front end of that tractor, and we'd pick up rocks out of the fields, and we'd take those rocks, put the rocks into the basket, and he'd dump them on the side of the field. And every spring we went out there and we did the same thing. And I used to think, where are these rocks coming from? Because every single spring there were more rocks. And God dropped into my heart, I've given you the steps. And I've given you this program so that you can clear away the stuff that has blocked you from me. I committed my heart to Christ when I was 19. It wasn't a matter of whether or not I was saved according to what I believed. It was I was blocked from God. And that was so, so very overwhelming to me at times. But the program has allowed me to clear away the stuff on the surface. And then when I felt the need to go through the steps again because there were more things on the surface, he just lovingly said, I'm bringing more things up. This is okay. This is part of the process. Part of this process is the self-searching. It's being okay with, not showing up the way I'd like to show up and not having there be a baseball bat connected to that. It's okay to level my pride by saying I went back into the food again and know that what I'm going to get is a lot of love from people and, most importantly, acceptance from my Creator. It's okay to confess versus cover. This program has given me the gift to uncover, discover, and for the first time, discard. And then I get to live in that space, which is what it talks about at the end, that spiritual tool, right? It's the Spirit of God living in me and me being able to sense Him because I'm not blocked. And when that happens, I get to live in that fourth dimension as long as I stay connected. And these beautiful tools give me that gift, 10, 11, and 12. And working the rest. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everyone. Blessings to you all.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. If you joined us after we started, we are on page 25, and there's a solution in the chapter. There's a solution. I have time. We have time. Probably I can take five more names. If anyone would like to share, please press star one and give me your first name. Wait a second. Hold on a second. Oh, I've lost it. I heard Kimberly. The only name I could make out of that was Kimberly. Was there anyone else that gave their name and I didn't hear you?
Maggie.
Lisa M.
Okay. Okay, so I have Kimberly, Maggie, Lisa, Elsie, and one more.
Rick T.
I'm sorry?
Rick T.
Rick T?
Yes.
You have lights on out here.
Okay.
I'm not going to check them.
Okay, whoever has their lights on, please, please mute. And we're ready for Kimberly, then Maggie, then Lisa. Kimberly, please come in and share with us.
Good morning, everyone. What a joy to be here this morning. I am dramatically remembering that I came in October only by the grace of God. Having been in OA for three times beforehand, Neuro, October was my third time. Didn't get it the first, didn't get it the second, had 10-year sabbaticals, and boy, there is a solution. I played a game, which I actually laugh at myself. I knew about OA, and I knew I didn't have a glow. I didn't have a joy. I had a lot of fat, a lot of head with sickness, and I came in and I played the game. Okay, so if someone offers to be a sponsor, you know, I knew that was important, and I got a sponsor immediately, knowing how important that was, and wow, thank you, Lord, that I did, that there is a solution. I didn't know what I came to learn about the disease and how I really was a sick and suffering woman. Fortunately, only by the grace of God, I knew God. I had a spiritual foundation. And only by the grace of God, I hadn't died with other illnesses and the weight and the unhealthy way of living would have had me dead, been dead. But I know that God kept me from that. What else here? It's definitely daunting that there's requirements and that I look forward to what I got to continue to do. And thankfully, I'm in the steps and I'm in these vision meetings, really just being showered and drowned into what works and what doesn't work. And for that, I'm grateful. What does it say here? I'm finally really embracing that cliche that I always use, that I'm becoming the woman that God intends me to be. I really now know what that means. I'm grasping onto that. It takes hard work, or it takes slow and easy work of got to get abstinent, got to eat the salad, gagging, got to, not literally, but, you know, really focusing in on what feeds my soul. What does Jesus want to feed me with? Good food. Not food that,
got,
you know,
time, Kimberly?
Sure.
Kimberly, before you stop, could you give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling in from, please?
Right, sir. K, Kimberly K, and I'm calling from New Hampshire, Eastern Time.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That was Kimberly K calling in from New Hampshire. Next up, we have Maggie, followed by Lisa and Elsie. Maggie, can you give us your first initial and where you're calling in? Come on and share with us.
Yes, this is Maggie A in Massachusetts. And thank you, Kathy, for your service. This is a great paragraph for me. There's so much I want to say about it, but I'll just say that I'll comment on, the soul searching. Yes, that is not, that's not easy, but it's very simple. And I have been doing that. And I know that I can do it with the help and the comfort of God and the fellowship here. I am quite a comfort seeker, so I'm always, I've been looking for comfort in the wrong places, such as I still have a couple of foods that have small amounts of sugar in them. And, my sponsor has shared with me her thoughts to let go of those, that I really, if I really want recovery, complete recovery. So I'm working on that. And, I love the part two where it says, these tools are laid at my feet. I like the way that's said because it's such a visual, and that gives me hope that I know recovery is right here and it really works. What an incredible promise that is. So I'm feeling very grateful and very inspired. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. That's Maggie A. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Lisa, followed by Elsie, and then Rick. And I think if the last two take 2 minutes, we can get everyone in. Lisa, please come in and share with us.
Hi, good morning, everybody, or good evening. My name is Lisa M. from Virginia, recovered compulsive overeater just for today. Thanks, everybody, for your service here at this meeting. And for me, what stood out is, yes, the leveling of my pride. And to level something means to take it low, like if I'm leveling a mountain or leveling whatever the peak is, I'm making it even. And that's what had to happen. That's what continuously has to happen for me. Leveling of my ego, leveling of I got this, leveling of I don't need help, I'm okay. Leveling of all of that and throwing it out, really, taking it low. And the other thing with which the previous speaker kind of touched on is this spiritual toolkit laid at my feet. And I thought that was an interesting way to put that, because it didn't say the spiritual toolkit put in my hands. It's the spiritual toolkit put at my feet. And if something's at my feet, I've got to get low to get it. I've got to stoop down. I've got to lower myself. And that just goes along with the leveling of my pride. I've got to let go of that pompous, proud kind of way that I can be and be teachable and be humble, to get low, to get down, to pick up metaphorically this spiritual toolkit from my feet, and to use it to get well, to use it by God's grace to get well. So that's really all I had, and thanks for allowing me to share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That's Lisa M. from – Lisa, where are you calling in from? I'm sorry, I missed that. Next up, we have Elsie, and followed by Rick T, and you both can have 3 minutes, so this is great. Elsie, please come in and share with us.
Hi, this is Elsie M. from Pennsylvania, and I
thank
think
you.
Lisa was from Virginia.
Thank
Lisa
you.
Was from Virginia.
Oh, my gosh, thank you. Yeah. Oh, that's great. So that was Lisa M. from Virginia, and we have Elsie M. from Pennsylvania. Come on in. Thank you.
All right, no problem. There is a solution that just gives me such comfort. I have found the solution in OA. I've been absent in a while. And but this also applies to every other aspect of my life. There is a solution as long as I stay close to my higher power, as long as I stay connected to my higher power. And sometimes I feel less connected. And right now I'm going through some hard times. and I feel less connected. And it talks about that in the AA 12 and 12 in the 11th step, and it says, just keep on praying, and it'll come back. And it just shows the humanness of us, and that there are times that we may feel disconnected, but to just keep doing the work, doing what we've been taught in the 12-step room, and that there is a solution as long as I stay close to my higher power. That's all I have to share today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was Elsie M. from Pennsylvania. And next up we have Rick T. And then after Rick, we're going to have time for another person to share. Rick, come on in and share with us, please. Rick T., star one.
I'm Rick in Hagerstown, Maryland. I'm 69 years old. I got real sick and weak in June of 2021. I ended up living in a nursing home for 3.5 years. During that time, I gained over 100 pounds. I was discharged from the nursing home in January of 2025. I did good for several months, but then relapsed. I regained my abstinence on February 22nd of this year. That's when I started drinking a 16-ounce glass of water as soon as I woke up in the morning. I drink water throughout the day. It curbs my appetite. I'm not tempted to overeat. For me personally, what I drink and when I drink it is just as important as what I eat. Again, I'm Rick T., Hagerstown, Maryland, number 240.
We don't give our number out, Rick, on this one. I'm sorry. If you want to wait to, yeah, but thank you. Thank you so much for sharing with us. That's Rick T. from Maryland, and we do have time for another share. We have one more share.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Please come in and share with us, Chris.
Yes, I live in Tennessee, and I am a compulsive overeater. Right now, I'm in a facility, and I tell people, well, they bring in the tray of food, and they take the tray of food out, and I don't have to cook it, and all I have to do is eat it, and I eat and sleep, and that's what I do right now. I'm busy recovering, and that's an action. Recovering is an action. But as I looked at my tray of food this morning, I looked at it and it was not exciting. My abstinent meal was routine, and I wasn't excited about it. But I don't have to be excited. With the spirit of the solution, I don't have to be excited. That's not necessary. I can just eat my food and go on with my day. And I'm sort of excited about my hot coffee. But that's, you know, just part of it. So I'll let you go. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Chris G. from Tennessee. And we now have time for a two-minute share. Is there anyone out there who would like to give us a last share for 2 minutes to bring us out for this morning?
Susan M.
Okay, how about Susan S.H.? Thank you.
Okay, very well. I've got to say, I had some big feelings this morning. Big feelings. I felt let down. I was up next to read the paragraph. My feelings are okay, right? Right? I must recognize and admit them. I have these tools, steps laid at my feet. I have to use them daily. I'm reminded to use them daily when my character defects come barreling in. I have directions. I have a higher power that loves me, and I am grateful today. The selfishness, self-pity, dishonesty, fear, they all jumped right in. But I'm picking up that toolbox. I see that living in the steps do not mean I always get my way. Higher power than conditional love reminds me I am loved and accepted. I cannot say I love the leveling of my pride. Still don't, but I love the results. It propels me to use these steps every day. I needed a deep look at this again, and here it is in my lap. There's another one of these tools just laid at my feet. Again, I see my reaction as the problem, and a loving power will embrace me and ease those sharp, pointy feelings that I don't want to share. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share that, and I will pass.
Thank you so much. It's Susan S.H. from Ohio, and I want to thank everyone who shared with us. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, March 17th, 2026, is 23,291. That's 23291. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book. We're on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Susan please come back on in and read a vision for you, or book is meant to be suggestive only?
Wow, I was so focused. Didn't look it up yet, but here it is. Susan S.H., still me, still a compulsive overeater, recovered today. Still you, oh no, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you